on my lunch break, just find myself browsing Prime. I don't know what it is, but they seem to have the largest catalog of 90-minute, here's something you didn't know existed type of movies.
I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, where you can find just about anything on there. And so I found a small independent film that I texted you about called In a World, which I remember the trailer for back in, I believe this is from 2017 mm-hmm. or so. This is written and directed and starring Lake Bell, who I'm a big fan of. She's not like someone who's in everything, but whenever I see her in something, whether it be like Wet Hot American Summer or when she does cameos in like New Girl or whatever, like she's funny. She has a really interesting comedic tone and cadence, I would say. And
100%.
This movie is just about a woman who is the daughter of a very established voiceover artist, someone who does, you know, say the trailer, readings, stuff like that, who is attempting to break into that same industry. And it's just a really charming, well-made dramedy about this woman attempting to be a voiceover artist, which is a very odd kind of thing. You never see movies about people who are trying to do something as specific as this.
Sure.
Also starring Fred Melamed, Rob Corddry, Michaela Watkins, Ken Marino. It's like all of those guys that you've seen, but they're all like the cameo people or like the bit players. And they're all in this film as just like, you know, as main characters. And it's really good. It's not like reinventing the wheel, but for a 90-minute little independent piece, I thought it was very charming. Really funny, great performances overall with a really like soft but like heartfelt center to it that I'm like, oh, there's something in here that she's experienced. Like this is coming from some real place, it feels like, whether it's, I don't think it's voiceover specifically, but.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I would say definitely check this out. It's got a couple tricks up its sleeve to get you in that kind of like emotional like stance about the halfway point that I wasn't really ready for and a movie that was kind of as goofy as this, but yeah, I would recommend In a World to just about anybody. It's a pretty safe movie that's just pretty high quality, so
nice. You texted me about it and I remember watching the trailer and being like, oh, this is like a hell of a stacked cast for like a tiny little movie here. You know, I feel like I've seen a few of those trailers recently where it's like, oh, that person and that person and that person.
Yeah.
Which is, you know. So, yeah, I think this is definitely on my watch list. I'll have to knock this out at some point.
Yeah, it's easy. Like if you're looking for a lunch watch or a 7 a.m. watch, this is super easy. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. I want to touch base on a TV show, actually.
Ooh.
And it's been a long time since we've talked about anything like this, but I am watching currently X-Men 97.
Oh,
this is the cartoon extended series based on the 90s X-Men cartoon, which I watched. I don't remember quite as well as like the Spider-Man cartoon, but this is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's done very much with intention. Like the style is very intentional and far beyond just like the animation style. Like the voiceover performance, the storytelling, the like the way they address the heroes is very specific. And like, you know, there's a certain level of camp that I think has been eliminated from superhero stuff in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, where they had like there's a scene where they have like a big transformation thing and it's just this side of Sailor Moon, and you're like, okay, like this is, you know, not based in reality. This is based on the 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
So it's I'm enjoying it. The voices freak me out a little bit, and I think that's literally just because for whatever reason the actual sound of these voiceovers from the 90s cartoon is deeply embedded in the back of my brain somewhere, and I'm like, that's not what Wolverine sounds like.
Yeah, can't shake you know? That.
It's definitely worth a watch. 3 episodes are out now and more coming. I'm not sure how many episodes are coming. I want to say it was only like an 8 episode run or something.
Interesting.
10.
Oh, okay. Okay. 20 minutes, so, 22 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're short. They're easy.
Cool.
And they're one at a time. There's only 3 out at the moment. So
gotcha. Is it like a continuation of that series, yes. or is it? Oh, it, like it picks up like
100%. It picks up almost immediately after.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, the '90s X-Men show ended in 1997.
Yeah. So it literally,
or maybe it was like end of '96 or whatever. But like, yeah,
sure. But this, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Someone who really cares did this.
Yeah, and it's doing some justice. Like the big thing I've seen is it's like probably the best rendition of Cyclops we've ever seen.
Ooh,
he's like, you know, someone who actually knows what to do with Cyclops, which is like he's tough. You know, it's like it's a Superman-esque Boy Scout character that like is tough to thread the line.
Totally.
And yeah, I mean, it's weird. Just like I feel like I know all these guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Old friends.
Yeah. Old friends come back.
Back from the past. I love it. That's awesome. I've been meaning to ask you because I know that it was, you hadn't said that you had watched it yet. So I was like, oh, I wonder if he's checking it out.
I just kicked it off this week. I've been meaning to, but it's been one of those like, when, but right. I finally found the corner for it. So
that's awesome. I'm glad that
every
it's
Wednesday
good.
It comes out.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. X-Men and I will say seems also, to be tough for studios.
Yeah, for sure. One little thing I will say too is like, I don't think it 100% depends on you having watched the original.
Mm.
Because there are a couple things here and there that I'm like, I think I remember that being a thing. Like, I don't really remember what Morph's backstory was and what happened to him in the series, but like, I know something happened to him in the series, but it's kind of holding my hand as we rediscover.
Gotcha. That's the mark of a good show. Like they're not saying, okay, you must have seen this, but also like anyone who's going in, maybe they've heard of it, maybe they haven't, but most of the people who are on Disney Plus might not have. So they're just going to click on that. Is the rest of the run there too?
Right. What do you mean?
Like the other seasons of that show, are they on Disney Plus too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is there. Right
awesome.
Now.
Oh, so they might even go check it out. After, like, that's pretty cool.
And you can roll back, which then I wonder how, because I think I've said on this pod before, like I've gone back and rewatched some of these in the past and they are very like not hard to watch, but very like
from that time
from that time. And they were clearly labor intensive. It's like there was no CG doing stuff. So it was like they're not jumping and flying all over the place because it's like, you know, how many frames do you have to do for that? So it's a little like less exciting, I guess is the phrase.
Mm, interesting.
Elaborate, maybe less elaborate.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, well, so. I'm glad that it's good. That's you never know with these things these days, but with something so specific, they had to have a good crew on board. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think Marvel Animation is going to be something to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If we're talking about What If and this, like,
two for two.
That's not nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't done anything bad yet. So I hope they give them a little bit more, not leeway, but I want more coming from that like division of Marvel, especially if they're going to do more shows. It's like, we got to switch it up a little bit. So, well, that's really, really cool. I love to hear that. I wasn't sure how I was going to go over, but
yeah,
I did a doubleheader, literally, two different theaters. I don't know. I did this because one of the movies was only playing in Boston and I didn't want to stay in Boston all day. So I went back to a different, it's a whole thing. Either way, I did two horror movies back to back this week or this weekend. The first one being, I went and saw Late Night with the Devil, which I went to because multiple people were like, oh dude, you got to check this out. You know, and I'm like, you know what? Low budget horror. I'm going to go see it. Let's see. It's not a bad thing to give these guys a little bit more money.
Yeah.
And this movie is not a bad film at all. In fact, it's pretty good. It's really well made, starring David Dismalchin, which, you know, we both really like. And I've never seen him do anything like this. He literally is playing a late night host in this same era of Johnny Carson. And he is a late, like, I've never seen him be this charismatic before because he's never cast in roles like that. He's always like the twitchy, like nervous weirdo. He's a fucking leading man. Like this guy can do that, which I thought was really, really interesting. My problem with this film is I just watched Ghost Watch, man. Like this is the same thing. Like it's basically the same thing. The story is different, but the premise is it is a broadcast of the last show of this late night television series where they had to basically boost the ratings. So what are they going to do? They're going to do a special Halloween show where they have a psychic and they have a possessed girl and things start to go off the rails. I mean, you kind of know what's going to happen. It is really well done. The AI is not really as in your face as it I thought it was going to be. However, I'm still not saying, like, you know, use AI.
Sure.
It literally is just like inserts. However, that doesn't cost that much, guys. So have someone draw that for you. Like, I just didn't.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Did knowing that it was AI take you out of the movie? Like, did you have moments where you're like, oh, there it is. There's the AI.
Yes, because it just cuts to an AI image. Like, it's just like, oh, we'll be back in after these messages. And it just cuts to that frame, which I'm like, I know that's AI because I've been told it was AI.
Yeah.
So it did a little bit. My main problem was the fact that I saw nothing that I had never seen before. And if I'm going to a horror film, I want to be like shocked. And this is like a good, you know, if you're just going out on a date, like, it's not overly scary. It's not overly disgusting. Like, there's nothing in this that I would say is like above the threshold of you can't watch this if you're just like someone who doesn't like horror. So maybe that's what they were going for, but I don't know. I was a little let down, honestly. I was like, I kind of wanted to be shocked by this and I was not shocked in any way. So
yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Worth checking out, you know, but maybe wait for it on Shudder. I don't know. So yeah.
Nice. I'm going to shift, real quick to what is pretty much a direct reversal of X-Men 97. I finally watched The Iron Claw.
Jesus, yeah.
I fucking love this movie, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what specifically it was. And there were maybe one or two moments where I was like, not like fully into it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, once it grabbed you, it grabs you and like just like body slams you down again and again and again. Like I'm not being articulate here, but like the filmmaking in it is incredible. Like the storytelling is great. You know what I mean? Like the performance is absolutely off the charts. You know, I mean, this, like you said this when you reviewed it, but this is like what we knew Zac Efron could do the whole time. And yeah, it's wild. I'm so amazed that it didn't pull any kind of Oscar nomination, you know?
Yeah. None. I mean, it could have been up for, we'll do an Oscars conversation about the Oscars in general, but it could have been up for a number of them. And maybe it was too late. Maybe they didn't campaign at all or whatnot, but you know.
Yeah. And I remember us talking about like Jeremy Allen White, like potentially taking home a best supporting nom. But Maura Tierney, the mom, I was like, every scene she was in was magnetic.
Unreal.
She was, for me, and this is an insane, it's outside of Zac Efron, she was like the performance that I took away from it more than anything. And, you know, I mean, Holt McCallany there is like incredible. And the thing I'll really say, the reason I know it was as good as it is, or the reason I know I liked it as much as I did is I was locked in for the whole thing.
Yep.
Never looked at my phone. Didn't like pause to get up to go to the bathroom. You know, didn't do anything. I was just in it, and like in it to the level of like not feeling anything outside of the TV screen in my house. You know what I mean? Just like there, locked in. I mean, I didn't know the story. You know, of all of this, I was like kind of blown away to see it. See that it was a based on true events at the end, because
holy crap.
But I am so glad I watched this movie. This is, to go back, this is probably one of my top movies of 2023.
Yeah, easily. I mean, this made it was in my top 15 for sure. Like, it was as soon as I saw it, I'm like, this is, it was this and Godzilla Minus One. I'm like, well, it's somewhere in my top, it's over 4 stars, you know? So,
yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, it's a weird one because it's still a sleeper. I mean, people are checking it out and it did a pretty good theatrical mm-hmm. run for a small indie, but man, it's like a really just, it's almost like a classic American tale that can speak to just about anybody, which I find really interesting because whoever you are, anybody I've known who've seen this, they've all had the same reaction of like, wow, like that hit me in places I didn't really know I had, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the center of it all is Zac Efron. And everyone's been rooting for Zac Efron since the early 2000s. And now finally we get the performance that we knew he could do. And he blows it off the screen. Like it's just the last 5 minutes, man, he's put on a clinic. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. It really is true. And like Jeremy Allen White's great in it as well. You know, I mean, everybody's great in it. Like, you know, there's not a bad performance. I will say I didn't have a lot of use for Lily James's character.
Yeah.
I felt like it was missing a scene for her. Mm. Like, she was there and she was kind of through the whole thing, but I kept being like, there needs to be one big scene for her. And I don't think we ever really hit that. So,
right. Especially because it was going through time so rapidly towards the end that you're like, oh wait, now they're here and this is what they're doing. And it felt like her character should have been more important than it was, especially with her setup. It was like, oh wow, look at this woman. Like she's,
and it's not like they didn't have conflict between them, you know?
Right.
So
yeah. Yeah, man, the Iron Claw. I wonder if that'll end up getting a physical copy, because I wouldn't mind having that on DVD or Blu-ray.
Bet.
It's A24, so they usually do that, at least for a short run.
Yeah.
But man, that cinematography too, man. Holy crap.
It like so accessible. Yeah, it looks like there's already a Blu-ray release of it.
Oh, fantastic.
The cinematography, I mean, and just the backdrop of wrestling being like not necessarily even the major part of it. Like all of it has to do with wrestling, but like it's not about wrestling.
No.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy. Love it. If you haven't watched The Iron Claw, watch The Iron Claw.
Definitely made me want to like go work out too.
It's funny too, because this is an aside, but they apparently none of them had the same regiment because they all were like, I'll do this. We'll just work out on our own. So they all came in different like levels of being fit, but it worked because like they're a family and they're not all going to be doing the same things and they're all different ages. And like, it just worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other film in my doubleheader was Immaculate. This is the Sydney Sweeney film. She plays a nun horror coming back. The First Omen is coming out soon. It's big right now for some reason. I think it's like easy. I don't know what it is. This is a really odd film. Sydney Sweeney basically plays, I would say like an aspiring nun who is scouted by a church in Europe, and she goes over to learn and learn at the feet of these like priests, nuns, holy figures. And she realizes that she was sent there she was beckoned here for a reason. And the reason is not quite, you know, holy, I guess I would say. Mm. And then it kind of plays out like a horror film does. This is another one where I'm like, they just didn't take it far enough for me. I'm like, there's something here because I love the fact that I learned that Sydney Sweeney, she couldn't get cast in this movie and they wouldn't make it. Years ago. And then so she used her star power when she's super famous to executive produce it and get it made. And I was like, that's fucking cool. Like that's the rock shit that real movie stars do.
Yeah. She's turning into like legit major movie star.
Yeah. She's doing the thing. And something on a weird, like independent horror film, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
after Madam Web.
Yeah. And hey, she played that perfectly. She's like, hey, listen, you didn't like it, but I didn't make the film. So this is a stepping stone for me. And I'm like, yes,
I just got hired.
You did this. You nailed it. I don't really know what to say about this movie because like she's really good in it. It's funny because she often, except for anyone but you, tends to play against type where like, you know, she even says in her SNL monologue, she's like, guys seem to like me a lot. It's like, but in these films, this reality. She's playing like a really like paranoid, like unmade, just kind of a mess of a person, which I think is really great for her and her, like her person, her like outward persona. And that's what I liked about this, is she kind of subverted herself. And she's really good in it, but in the end, it's kind of derivative. I will say the last 5 minutes, she does a one-er where, spoilers for Immaculate, I know you're never going to watch this, so I'm just going to spoil it for you right now. Yeah,
it's a safe bet.
She gives birth standing up, and it's just a shot on her face for 5 whole minutes of her giving birth. And then she has to kill the fetus because it's literally like a Satan spawn thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that whole sequence, I was very pro this, like, that entire sequence made me go, okay, I think I like this movie a little bit more than I did going out of it the first time, because she's good at acting.
She lands the plane. Yeah.
Like, she landed that plane in a way that I had never seen. And she also was like, let me do this. I can do this. You make this the finale, and we're going to rock this. And so, like, for that alone, I guess, I think I would say that it is worth it. But I don't know, man. These horror films kind of being lukewarm, it's weird to me, because we're coming out of a Barbarian, Talk to Me, Evil Dead Rise era of, like, gnarly, 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 gnarly. And I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm expecting that going into movies where people are like, holy shit, the last 5 minutes. I'm like, it just wasn't that gnarly, man. Sorry, I've seen worse, you know? So I don't know. Immaculate, I would wait for both of these to hit Shudder probably, unless you're looking for a good date night movie. It is really dark, like dark in terms of like the lighting, you can barely see. So it's kind of weird. But yeah, so Immaculate, it's there.
Nice. I'm going to wrap up my side here talking about something that we talked about on Thursday. And that is a show I've been watching called The Three Body Problem.
Yes.
Now, have you heard anything about this outside of what we talked about on Thursday?
I mean, I heard it's not that bad.
Okay.
I know it's the Game of Thrones writers, right?
Yes. It's the guys from Game of Thrones whose names I don't have off the top of my head. It's like I'm it's tip of the tongue, but I'm not going to.
It's fine. It's fine. You can look it up.
But Netflix adaptation of a book from, I don't know, a few years ago, I believe. It's about basically, how do you summarize Three Body Problems? It's the show is focused around this group of academics living in England, you know, like a physicist, a it's hard even to describe what, like, smart people is really what it is.
Sure. Academics, maybe.
Yeah. And there's this weird thing that starts happening where, like, a couple of these people kill themselves. And that's no spoiler. That's like the first episode. And then, you know, there's this game that's going on, and it turns out that there's like this alien species that is like trying to communicate with humanity, basically, through this video game.
Oh.
And it's like a fully immersive VR kind of thing. Like, you put a little headset on, and that you'll probably see the graphics. It's like a chromed headset that goes across your eyes. I really, really like this show. A lot of people are not fans of it. A lot of people are saying that, I gotta look up these guys' names now. David Benioff and Benioff D.B. Weiss.
Weiss, there
Benioff
it is, yeah.
And Weiss.
I was like, I know it's two I
had,
people.
I had D.W. in my head.
Close.
You know, which, I'm not wrong. But so it's like a lot of people have been saying like, oh, look at them ruining another book kind of thing. And I don't think that's true at all. I actually really enjoyed this, having not read the book. I will say it's a little fragmented in terms of like what happens, in that like the last two episodes open up the world, like oh, like there's, oh, here's a whole nother thing that's going on. You know, and like kind of, I mean, kind of like with Game of Thrones when it's like, oh, like here's, you know, another house that's shown up or whatever. Like there, it's just like expands right at the end. And like, this seems very sudden and like, let's go into the next season kind of thing. And like the stuff from the beginning of the season seems less important. And there's just like a level of unbalance, I feel like, with some of it.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's approved for 4 seasons at Netflix. You know, they're going to do the whole thing. I mean, like if ever there was a pair that Netflix is going to throw down on, it's going to be these two.
But, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely worth checking out. If you have a Netflix subscription, like it sucked me right in. Like it's one of those you have to think to like keep track of what's going on.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And it like, it engages you because you're like, wait, okay. So I think this is, and it's like not lost levels of like, okay, so this is what's happening and then this, but this means that and that means that. But like, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That's just enough to make it interesting. So
gotcha.
I binged the whole thing in like a week, which is, you know, partially it being good and partially being Jess having no chill on waiting for things like that. But
sure. Yeah.
But the three body problem, pretty solid in my opinion.
Yeah.
Good filmmaking, good performance.
How many episodes did you say that it was?
It is 8, I believe.
8 is just the magic number these days.
It is. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it's piqued my interest. I mean, knowing that one, hearing the name of the show, you can't gather anything about what it is interesting to me. And then hearing that it was a sci-fi movie or a sci-fi show, I was like, ooh, that actually has me a little bit more interested than I was prior.
And I will shout out, the cast is baller. So like the cast, we have Isaac Gonzalez, Baby Driver.
She's great.
Who like I definitely spent like the whole first 4 episodes being like, wow, she looks so much like that girl from Baby Driver.
Oh, she's in Ambulance.
Yeah, she's in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Jess Hong, Benedict Wong is in it.
Mm.
And he's
my
great.
Guy.
He's Let's just go. Like a grumpy cop. And I will say, I think the lasting legacy of She-Hulk is every time I see him now, I just go, Wongers. But I mean, and then there's like all kinds of Game of Thrones folk in there.
Of course.
Jonathan Pryce is in there. John Ooh. Bradley.
Oh, wow.
John Bradley takes the show on that. And Liam Cunningham's in it. And he's just like a great evil dude. And it's like, it's solid across the board, I think, in my opinion. So.
Just a quality show. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
You've convinced me. I'll check out at least one episode. I might even watch one after this. Because you're not the first person to say that. They're like, oh, you know, I just checked out this random show. It turns out it's pretty good. Especially if the writing is good, you know. But
yeah.
Cool. Three body problem.
Nice. Do you have anything after that?
No.
Wongers.
Oh boy.
All right.
And it works because his real name is Wong.
Yeah, it's true.
He fits right in with that group too. Like all the. He would have been so good on Game of Thrones.
Oh, I'm sure. He would be good in anything. I love him.